Chapter 8. You enter the married state with Mr. Owl? Miss P. Poor John. It is not I who am going to, that is, it's Mary, the schoolroom maid. Milliken. Eternal blazes. Have you turned Mormon, John Owl, and are you going to marry the whole house? John. I made a ass of myself about Miss Pryor. I couldn't help her being LL lovely. Kick. Gad, he proposed to her in my presence. John. What I proposed to her, Cornet Clarence Kickleberry, was my heart and my honor, and my best, and my everything, and knew you wanted to take advantage of her secret, and knew offered her indignities, and knew laid a cowardly hand on her a cowardly hand. And I struck you, and I do it again. Milliken. What? Is this true? Turning round very fiercely to K. Kick. Gad. Well, I only, Milliken. You only what? You only insulted a lady under my roof, the friend and nurse of your dead sister, the guardian of my children. You only took advantage of a defenseless girl, and would have extorted your infernal payout of her fear. You miserable sneak and coward. Kick. Hallo. Come, come. I say I won't stand this sort of chaff. Dammy, I'll send a friend to you. Milliken. Go out of that window, sir. March. Or I will tell my servant, John Owl, to kick you out, you wretched little scamp. Tell that big brute, what's his name? Lady Kickleberry's man, to pack this young man's portmanteau and bear's grease pots. And if ever you enter these doors again, Clarence Kickleberry, by the heaven that made me, by your sister who is dead, I will cane your life out of your bones. Angel in heaven. Shade of my Arabella, to think that your brother in your house should be found to insult the guardian of your children. John. By jingo, you're a good plucked one. I knew he was, miss, I told you he was. Exit, shaking hands with his master, and with Miss P, and dancing for joy. Exit Clarence, scared, out of window. John, without, Bulkley. Pack up the captain's luggage. Milliken. How can I ask your pardon, Miss Pryor? In my wife's name I ask it in the name of that angel whose dying bed you watched and soothed, of the innocent children whom you have faithfully tended since. Miss P.A., sir. It is granted when you speak so to me. Milliken. A.A.D. don't call me sir. Miss P. It is for me to ask pardon for hiding what you know now. But if I had told you, you never would have taken me into your house, your wife never would. Milliken. No, no. Weeping. Miss P. My dear, kind Captain Touchett knows it all. It was by his counsel I acted. He it was who relieved our distress. Ask him whether my conduct was not honorable, ask him whether my life was not devoted to my parents, ask him when I am gone. Milliken. When you are gone, Julia. Why are you going? Why should you go, my love? That is why need you go, in the devil's name. Miss P. Because, when your mother-in-law come to hear that your children's governess has been a dancer on the stage, they will send me away, and you will not have the power to resist them. They ought to send me away, sir, but I have acted honestly by the children and their poor mother, and you will think of me kindly when I am gone? Milliken. Julia, my dearest, dear noble dar the devil. Here's old Kickleberry. Enter Lady K, children, and Clarence. Lady K. So, Miss Pryor, this is what I hear, is it? A dancer in my house. A serpent in my bosom poisoning, yes, poisoning those blessed children, occasioning quarrels between my own son and my dearest son-in-law, flirting with the footman. When do you intend to leave, madam, the house which you have polluted? Miss P. I need no hard language, Lady Kickleberry. And I will reply to none. I have signified to Mr. Milliken my wish to leave his house. Milliken. Not, if you will stay. To Miss P., Lady K. Stay, Horace. She shall never stay as governess in this house. Milliken. Julia. Will you stay as mistress? You have known me for a year alone before, not so well when the house had a mistress that is gone. You know what my temper is, and that my tastes are simple, and my heart not unkind. I have watched you, and have never seen you out of temper, though you have been tried. I have long thought you good and beautiful, but I never thought to ask the question which I put to you now. Come in, sir. To Clarence at door, : now that you have been persecuted by those who ought to have upheld you, and insulted by those who owed you gratitude and respect. I am tired of their domination, and as weary of a man's cowardly impertinence, to Clarence, as of a woman's jealous tyranny. They have made what was my Arabella's home miserable by their oppression and their quarrels. Julia, my wife's friend, my children's friend, be mine, and make me happy. Don't leave me, Julia. Say you won't, dearest, dearest girl. Miss P, I won't leave you. George, without. Oh, I say. Arabella, look here. Here's Papa a-kissing Miss Pryor. Lady K. Horace Clarence, my son. Shade of my Arabella. Can you behold this horrible scene, and not shudder in heaven? Bulkley. Clarence, go for a doctor, go to Dr. Straightwist at the asylum. Horace Millican, who has married the descendant of the Kickleberries of the Conqueror, marry a dancing girl off the stage. Horace Millican, do you wish to see me die in convulsions at your feet? I writhe there, I grovel there. Look. Look at me on my knees. Your own mother-in-law. Drive away this fiend. Millican. Hem. I ought to thank you, Lady Kickleberry, for it is you that have given her to me. Lady K. He won't listen. He turns away, and kisses her horrible hand. This will never do. Help me up, Clarence. I must go, and fetch his mother. Ah, ah. There she is, there she is.
Lady K rushes out, as the top of a barrage, with Mr. and Mrs. Bonington and coachman, is seen over the gate.
Mrs. B, what is this I hear, my son, you are going to marry a stage dancer, you are driving me mad, Horace. Millican, give me my second chance, mother, to be happy, you have had yourself two chances. Mrs. B, speak to him, Mr. Bonington.
Bonington makes dumb show.
Lady K, implore him, Mr. Bonington. Mrs. B, pray, pray for him, Mr. Bonington. My love, my lost, abandoned boy. Lady K.O., my poor dear Mrs. Bonington. Mrs. B. Oh, my poor dear Lady Kickleberry.
They embrace each other.
Lady K., I have been down on my knees to him, dearest Mrs. Bonington. Mrs. B. Let us both go down on our knees, I will,
to her husband.
Edward, I will.
Both ladies on their knees. Bonington with outstretched hands behind them.
Look, unhappy boy. Look, Horace. Two mothers on their wretched knees before you, imploring you to send away this monster. Speak to him, Mr. Bonington. Edward. Use authority with him, if he will not listen to his mother, Lady K. To his mother's. Enter Touchett. Touchett. What is this comedy going on, ladies and gentlemen? The ladies on their elderly knees, Miss Pryor with her hair down her back. Is it tragedy or comedy? Is it a rehearsal for a charade? Or are we acting for Horace's birthday? Or, oh, I beg your reverence's pardon, you were perhaps going to a professional duty? Mr. B, it's we who are praying this child, Touchett. This child, with whom you used to come home from Westminster when you were boys. You have influence with him, he listens to you. Entreat him to pause in his madness. Touchett. What madness? Mrs. B, that woman, that serpent yonder, that dancing woman, whom you introduced to Arabella Millican, ah! And I rue the day. Horace is going to mum marry her. Touchett. Well, I always thought he would. Ever since I saw him and her playing at whist together, when I came down here a month ago, I thought he would do it. Mrs. B. Oh, it's the whist. Why did I ever play at whist, Edward? My poor Mr. Millican used to like his rubber. Touchett. Since he has been a widower, Lady K. A widower of that angel.
Points to picture.
Touchett. Pooh, pooh, angel. You two ladies have never given the poor fellow any peace. You were always quarreling over him. You took possession of his house, bullied his servants, spoiled his children. You did, Lady Kickleberry. Lady K, sir, you are a rude, low, presuming, vulgar man. Clarence, beat this rude man. Touchett, from what I have heard of your amiable son, he is not in the warlike line, I think. My dear Julia, I am delighted with all my heart that my old friend should have found a woman of sense, good conduct, good temper, a woman who has had many trials, and borne them with great patience, to take charge of him, and make him happy. Horace, give me your hand. I knew Miss Pryor in great poverty. I am sure she will bear as nobly her present good fortune, for good fortune it is to any woman to become the wife of such a loyal, honest, kindly gentleman as you are. Enter John. John, if you please, my lady, if you please, Sir Bulkley, Lady K, what of Bulkley, sir? John. He has packed his things, and Cornet Kickleberry's things, my lady. Milliken. Let the fellow go. John. He won't go, sir, till my lady have paid him his book and wages. Here's the book, sir. Lady K, insolence. Quit my presence. And I, Mr. Milliken, will quit a house, John. Shall I call your ladyship a carriage? Lady K, where I have met with rudeness, cruelty, and fiendish, to Miss P, who smiles and curtsies, yes, fiendish ingratitude. I will go, I say, as soon as I have made arrangements for taking other lodgings. You cannot expect a lady of fashion to turn out like a servant. John, hire the tar and garter for her, sir. Send down to the castle, anything to get rid of her. I'll tell her maid to pack her traps. Pinhorn, beckons maid and gives orders. Touchett, you had better go at once, my dear Lady Kickleberry. Lady K, sir. Touchett, the other mother-in-law is coming. I met her on the road with all her family. He screams. Enter Mrs. Pryor and children. Mrs. P, my lady, I hope your ladyship is quite well. Dear, kind Mrs. Bonington, I came to pay my duty to you, ma'am. This is Charlotte, my lady, the great girl whom your ladyship so kindly promised the gown for, and this is my little girl, Mrs. Bonington, ma'am, please, and this is my blue coat boy. Go and speak to dear, kind Mr. Milliken, our best friend and protector, the son and son-in-law of these dear ladies. Look, sir, he has brought his copy to show you.
Boy shows copy.
Ain't it creditable to a boy of his age, Captain Touchett? And my best and most grateful services to you, sir. Julia, Julia, my dear, where's your cap and spectacles, you stupid thing? You've let your hair drop down. What? What?
Begins to be puzzled.
Mrs. P. Is this collusion, madam? Mrs. P. Collusion, dear Mrs. Bonington. Lady K. Or insolence, Mrs. Pryor. Mrs. P. Insolence, your ladyship. What is it? What has happened? What's Julia's hair down for? Ah, you've not sent the poor girl away, the poor, poor child, and the poor, poor children. Touchett, that dancing at the Auberg has come out, Mrs. Pryor. Mrs. P. Not the darling's fault. It was to help her poor father in prison. It was I who forced her to do it. Oh, don't, dear Lady Kickleberry, take the bread out of the mouths of these poor orphans. Crying. Milliken. Enough of this, Mrs. Pryor. Your daughter is not going away. Julia has promised to stay with me, and never to leave me as governess no longer, but as wife to me. Mrs. P. Is it true, Julia? Miss P. Yes, Mama. Mrs. P. Oh.
Flings down her umbrella, kisses Julia, and running to Milliken.
My son. Come here, children. Come, Adolphus, Amelia, Charlotte, kiss your dear brother, children. What, my dears? How do you do, dears?
To Milliken's children,
have they heard the news? And do you know that my daughter is Gutenberg edition? End of chapter.